This is from the Psalm, and it says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all day long, and in your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and in your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to you, Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. God, we just thank you today that you are our shield, that mercy and truth do go before you. Mercy and truth is poured out by you. Father, we pray that we would let you be the glory of our strength, that you would be our strength, that you would be our life. So, Father, today on this Resurrection Sunday, on this Resurrection Day, the most important day in the history of the world, the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ for us. God, we pray that each one of us would just have a better grasp today of what he did for us and what it can mean to us and for us. Father, we pray these things in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, good morning again. We are glad you're here today and here to celebrate the resurrection with us today. The message today is called No Turning Back. No Turning Back. And it is Resurrection Day, and of course it's about Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so, with that being said, I want to focus on someone different today. I want to focus on another person that was involved with Jesus in the time leading up to and around the resurrection. And the reason I want to do that is because I believe there's a whole lot of us here today that can identify with a disciple who was named Simon Peter. So, Peter was Jesus' most high profile, most courageous, most brave, and most foot in the mouth prone disciple that Jesus had. You do know what foot in the mouth is, right? Okay, first service got it because they all laughed. But it was true. And I think that's why I identify with Peter, and probably a lot of you can identify with him. So, the night before, they had a meal together. We call it the Last Supper. And Jesus told his disciples about the betrayal that would take place soon. The process of the crucifixion. Process of him going through a trial, being unmerciful, beaten, the crucifixion, and his death. And he says to every one of the disciples sitting around the table there, he said, all of you will betray me. All of you will betray me. And of course, Jesus piped up boldly and said, no way, Jesus. Not me. Everyone else here might, but not me. I'll be right there with you, Lord. And then Jesus looked at Peter and he said, listen to me. Before the crow, before the rooster crows, twice tomorrow morning, you will betray me, deny me. Three times, before the rooster crows twice tomorrow morning. And I'm sure Peter, in his mind, was not receiving that. I'm sure he was really determined in his heart to prove Jesus wrong. But here's what I want to do. I want Peter to tell you the story, that part of the story. And so, listen to him explain it.
They say a rooster crowing is God's wake-up call. Yeah, that's at least that's the way it was for me. Everything that whole night was a blur, all right? I didn't comprehend. None of us could comprehend everything that was going on, all right? We were all in the upper room. Jesus was washing our feet. Then we were in the garden. Jesus goes off to pray by himself. I fell asleep. I'm not proud of it. Had a big meal. Bread makes me sleepy. Next thing we know, me, James, and John, Jesus is in our face, and he's trying to wake us up, and he said, the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing, and then before we know it, Judas is kissing Jesus on the cheek. I try to go help him. I cut off this guard's ear. For the record, I wasn't aiming for his ear. I'm a fisherman, not a swordsman. And then they arrest Jesus, and they take him off, and we ran. And it wasn't but 2 hours earlier that we were in the upper room. I was looking at him. I was looking him right in the eye saying, if everyone disowns you, Jesus, I won't. I'm with you. I love you. And I think that's what made me stop, turn around, go back. And I caught a glimpse of Jesus as they were taking him to the high priest's house. Stood at the gate, and some girl comes up to me, starts pointing at me, starts going, you're with him. You're with this man that claims to be the Son of God. You're one of his disciples. I felt like every eye was on me. So I just brushed her off. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You got the wrong guy. I get my way into the courtyard, and it's cold. I try to warm up by the fire. And then there's this guard that recognizes me, and he is from the ear incident, you know, and starts going, get him, he's with him, just arrest him, get him. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking about, all right? I wasn't with him. It was easier the second time to deny him. It was sometime right before morning, and this wise guy, he comes up to me and goes, who are you kidding, all right? Who are you fooling? You're with him. I can tell by your accent. I'm like, this is just the way I talk, all right? And the whole night, they kept pushing him around. They kept beating him. They kept spitting on him, throwing insults at him, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had enough. I was tired of people accusing me, looking at me, and I said a few things that I'm not proud of, but I was like, leave him alone. You don't know what you're doing, all right? Just leave him alone. I wasn't with him. And that's when I heard the most blood-curdling sound I ever heard in my whole life. I heard that rooster crow. And at that moment, Jesus, he turns around and he looks at me. He looks at me. And his gaze, you can't escape his gaze. I mean, when his eyes are on you, you cannot escape it. And they arrested him and they took him off. I will die with you, Jesus. If everybody disowns you, I will die with you. What a joke. I mean, what would you do? At that moment, at that time, I ran. I ran so fast. I ran so long. And you know what they did? They killed him. He's dead.
You know, the blessing of God is the release of everything we're created to be. God is calling us, all of us, to a purpose and a destiny. And not a destiny meaning the end result, but rather the fulfillment of a fruitful life, a fruitful life. And of course, a life that's not without its challenges. I shared with the first service this morning that I got home last night from here and wasn't home very long and got a call that a friend of mine had died that I'd kind of grown up with and rodeoed with and did a lot of other things with that we don't talk about anymore. Unexpectedly, I didn't even know he'd been sick. So life has its challenges. But the blessing is watching in this life what God can do when we truly rest in Him. We rest in Him. Because, you know, anything that's driven by our energy, or even worse, by a sense of guilt or shame that gives us somehow this idea that we have to perform to please God, that will never lead to a release and fruitfulness and fulfillment that God has for your life. Release, meaning having a positive effect on those around you. Fruitfulness, meaning having a positive effect on those around you. Release, meaning being freed from those things that come between you and God and prevent you from really receiving His best. And then fulfillment, meaning being content with the things of God and what He brings into your life. And so we've seen this account of Peter. Peter's own account leading up to the crucifixion and his disappointment in himself, his guilt, his shame that he was feeling. And, you know, I'm sure there's not anyone here who at some time, in some way, hasn't failed. And because of a sense of embarrassment or guilt or shame, you have a hard time believing that God could ever accept you, much less fulfill His purpose in your life. I'm sure that, in all honesty, there are people here today that are in that mindset. Maybe you came here today hoping to hear something, anything that can just restore a glimmer of hope for you. Well, I want you to stay with me because I believe you'll hear something today that will give you hope, that will restore that hope. John 21 and verse 3. John 21 and verse 3. And let me set this up for you. Jesus had already appeared to the disciples two times. And He had said, "I'll meet you in Galilee." And so they had gone up by Galilee by the sea. But Jesus wasn't there. In verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to Him, "We're going with you also." And so they went out and immediately got into the boat. And that night they caught nothing. Nothing. There were seven of them there. Peter, Andrew, probably Andrew. He's not mentioned by name. But Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, called the sons of Zebedee, they were fishermen 3 years before that when Jesus had called them. That's what they were doing. That's what they did for a living. They fished. They were fishermen, commercial fishermen. I believe Peter at this moment felt like he had failed at following Jesus. I believe he felt as though Jesus could never use him or trust him ever again. I think Peter probably didn't trust himself after the way he had denied Jesus three times. I believe he just resigned himself to turning back to what was familiar to him, what was easy for him, from what would help him disguise the embarrassment, the shame, and the guilt. And that was fishing, back where he came from, turning back to that. I said earlier, at the beginning, I was talking about Peter because I believe all of us can identify with him. And after all, isn't that what we do when we fail? We turn back to what's familiar. We go back to what's easy, what's familiar, to what we think is our comfort zone. Maybe for you, that's drugs, alcohol, tobacco, food, or some other addiction or habit. Maybe for some, it's back to an unhealthy relationship. Or maybe you just withdraw to a place of isolation or depression, back into that dark place that you perceive as a safe place where no one or no thing can hurt you. You see, I don't believe Peter was done with Jesus, but I think he believed Jesus was done with him. And maybe you're here today and you think the same thing. You think Jesus is just done with me. I'm going to come to church because it's Easter and everybody expects me to. But Jesus is done with me. Look at verse 4. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" In other words, "Hey, have you caught any fish?" And they answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net onto the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast the net, and they went to pull it up. Now they were not able to draw it because of the multitude of fish. And therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved, talking about John, because that's what he said about himself, "I'm the disciple Jesus loved," he says to Peter, "It's the Lord." That's the Lord on the beach. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, because he'd taken it off, and he plunged into the sea. You know what he did? He jumped out of the boat. He didn't wait for them to row it into shore and drag those fish in. He jumped out of the boat, and he swam as hard as he could to get to Jesus. Obviously, he was excited to see Jesus. And I believe as he swam to shore, I believe he was swimming with a glimmer of hope. With a glimmer of hope that he could find release from what had taken him back to fishing. That he could find restoration with Jesus. And so they ate breakfast because Jesus, he had his own fish. I mean, he was Jesus. There was a fire and fish and he was cooking. So they ate breakfast on the beach with Jesus. And afterwards, we look at verse 15 because Jesus spoke directly to Peter. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" Meaning more than these fish, more than fishing. Do you love me more than your stuff? He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time. Isn't it interesting that Peter denied him three times? Jesus asked him three times. He was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, Peter said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Then feed my sheep." So let's bring that dialogue that I just read in the passage up to today's way of talking. And just see what happened in this passage. And I want you to pay close attention to the words, especially the words of Jesus. Watch this.
Grace is God's unmerited favor for us, His crazy love. And the truth is, many times we struggle understanding it. If you find yourself struggling to understand God's grace, don't beat yourself up. Even the disciples struggled with understanding grace.
Jesus, is that you? You're alive. I can't believe you're alive. Okay, I was in the boat and I wasn't catching any fish, okay? But I heard this voice and the voice said, cast your net to the other side. And so I'm thinking, I'm a fisherman. I know what I'm doing, but I'm not catching any fish, you know? And so I throw that net over there and then a gaggle of fish pop into that net and I'm going, this is a total miracle. Who could have done that? I need to know who told me to throw the net to the other side. And boom, I look up and I mean, there is you. You're looking at me on the seashore going, it is I, the Lord, and you're alive. I can't believe you're alive. This is awesome. Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes, I love you. I love you. You're alive. This is so great.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, get out of the boat. Come on, man. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
I love you. Yes. And I'm so sorry about that rooster clucking. I had no idea what that meant, but I do not. I'm better for it. All right. Okay.
Good. Then feed my sheep.
Andrew, I'm smiling, but I'm serious. Come on, get out of the boat. It's him.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
Jesus, mere words cannot describe the passion that I have for you. I love you. You know everything. I love you.
Good. Good. Then feed my sheep.
I didn't even know you had livestock. That is so like you, though. There's something new about you all the time. That's what I love about you.
Peter.
Yeah.
Do you remember the morning the ladies went to the tomb?
Yeah. We're all in the upper room trying to figure out what to do next, you know, because we thought you were dead. You know, you were dead, you know, and we're trying to figure all that out, you know. And Mary comes running up, and Mary's like saying, beehive, beehive, beehive. And I'm thinking, I'm allergic to bees. Like, keep them out. You know what I'm saying? But as she kept getting closer, I heard her correctly. She was saying, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive. And we're going, who's alive, who's alive? And she said, she was at the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And she said that there was an angel there. And the angel said, go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay, he is risen. And so me and John, we hightailed it down there. And if John says he beat me, he's totally lying, all right? I beat him, FYI, all right, you know? And we get down there, and I'm looking in that tomb, and it is empty. There's nothing in there, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, what does this mean? What does this mean? And John is right there. John is so good with words. He should write a book. He is so good with words. And John said, don't you get it, Peter? This is everything Jesus said he was going to do, and you did it, and it's done. Let's go. This is so great.
Wait, yeah. The angel said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter that everything is okay. He is risen. You've risen. Let's go. This
he
is.
He said what?
Go tell the disciples and Peter. Go tell the disciples and Peter. You said my name. Why did you say my name?
Peter, that's grace.
No, I don't deserve that, because that night people kept coming up to me asking me if I belonged to you, if I was with you, and I kept denying you left and right, all right? No, it'll take me my whole life to make up for what I did. It was unforgivable for what I did.
No. What I did on the cross was meant to take what is unforgivable and make it forgivable. That's my grace. It's not about you. It's always about me. That's grace, Peter.
This encounter between Jesus and Peter totally destroys any notion of any requirement of achievement or performance on our part. Whatever our inadequacies are, just like Peter, Jesus looks at the heart. He looks at the heart. He looks at the heart to see if it's open. Completely open to him. He doesn't want us to be bound by what we've done or what we haven't done. He doesn't want us to be bound by what we've been or what we haven't been. Maybe you're sitting here today and you've denied Jesus. Maybe you've been denying him. But he asked Peter the question, and he asked all of us the question today too. And the question is, do you love me? Do you love me? Let's pray together. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for your privacy and the privacy of those around you, but mostly so that you can just focus in on that conversation between on the beach between Jesus and Peter and that question you just saw on the screen. Do you love me? Do you love me? Because when you really love Jesus, there's really no turning back. Just like he did Peter, he'll meet you where you are today. If you'll just believe, if you'll believe and allow him to. If you'll make a decision to not turn back, he'll bring release, he'll bring restoration, he'll bring purpose and fulfillment to your life. I promise you that. He will. He died so that the unforgivable things in our lives are made forgivable. And so he's here right now. And he's asking you, do you love me? I loved you enough to die on the cross. Do you love me enough to no longer deny me? Do you need Jesus today? Do you need Jesus in your life? Do you need to come back to him? I hope you'll do what Peter did. Because the Lord Jesus is right here in spirit today. And I hope you'll do what Peter did. I hope you'll jump out of the boat and come to him as fast as you can. Do you love me? If you need Christ in your life today, don't let embarrassment. There's nothing embarrassing about coming to Christ. It's the most joyous occasion in human life. The most joyous occasion in the church. If you need Jesus today, or maybe you've just been denying him, you've been away from him, you need to come back to him. Will you jump out of the boat today and just come to him? I want to meet you here. I'm coming down front here right on the floor. And I just want to pray with you. I just want to pray over you. So right now we're going to play a song that talks about what we've just been talking about. And as this song plays, I want to ask you, I want to invite you to come join me up here so we can pray together. No more shame. No more guilt. No more denying. A new heart and a new start is what he wants to give you. Come on.
To follow.
Don't be embarrassed. Don't let the enemy lie to you or hold you back. Stop turning back and come to him.
I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back.
One's coming. Are there others?
Go with me. I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me.
Don't turn back. Turn to him. Come on. He's waiting for you right here. The edge of the water. Just a second. I'm going to pray with these that have come. Is there anyone else that wants to come so we can pray together? Come on now this morning. He's saying, do you love me? Will you come to me? Just want to encourage you today. Maybe you weren't able to get out of your seat. But just like Peter, it's like I said, Peter, Jesus will come to you wherever you are if you'll just open your heart to him. And so I just want to encourage you today. that Jesus loves you and he cares about your life. And because of what he did on a cross, something like that, we can have real life, new life, and a whole life. And so we're gonna celebrate today, because today is a happy day. It's a happy day. It's Resurrection Day. So let's celebrate that. I just want to say thank you for coming and celebrating Easter with us, the Resurrection Day that is the highlight of the Christian faith. And without Resurrection Day, we wouldn't be here. Nothing else means anything. And I just want to say to you today, if you're a guest, if you're visiting with us, you don't have a church home, come back and check us out. We'll be back here in one service next week at 10 o'clock. And I don't know how long we'll stay in one service, but as long as we can. But, you know, why don't you get up next week, next Sunday morning, and say to one of your friends, hey, let's go to Fred's auction. And when they say, Fred's not open on Sunday, say, oh, yes, he is. No, we're blessed to be in this place, and we're happy to be in this area. And we just want to help people come to God, walk with God, help each other walk with God, and just do life together. We're not perfect, but we're just trying to do the best we can with him and love him like he loves us. So again, the invitation is open. Take your time, mill around. There's some more coffee and donuts back there at the cafe. And so enjoy the rest of your day here, and God bless you. Hope to see you again soon.